This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, a show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us as two mums trying to make work work. I'm Lou.
I'm Loz, and I'm kicking things off with a good news story. A study by an American global analytics firm, Gallup, found that those who work for female managers were more engaged in their workplace and suffered less burnout.
Couldn't be more true to my situation with my boss that I've brought up so many times before I went on maternity leave. Didn't have kids then, but I think this is just talking about female managers in general, and we love to see it.
We love to see it. And another good news story is from Sarah Pound. So you may know her as Wholesome by Sarah. Her cookbook is Chef's Kiss.
And that's coming from a non-chef, my doll.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. I am by no means a cook. In fact, I'm actually terrible. And her cookbook is delicious and it's fucking easy. You know what? It's like Jamie's 15-minute meals. They take you like an hour and 45
that
minutes.
That is the greatest lie that anyone has ever solved, actually.
I know. It's so bad.
I just said solved because I'm tired. I meant sold.
Yeah, well, you're right on both fronts. So Sarah Pound put up a post recently and I mean, I'll spare you from the entirety of the post, even though it was bloody excellent. This is on Instagram. But essentially, she said she's got three children, three daughters. Her third one, her youngest one, she was breastfeeding up until around the 10-week mark and she decided to switch to formula. I love so many things about this post. Mainly what I love the most is normalizing that not the whole fed is best, like we've heard it, we know, but normalizing that it is okay to choose formula.
Normalizing putting a mum first. Like we talk about all of this, but no one actually does
yes.
it. Everyone still makes it as though the baby's the most important person. And yes, sure, their health is important. But the
yes.
mother's mental health and physical health should come first. Everything flows from there.
Yes. And also I think there is this real glamorized perception of breastfeeding and what it looks like and how incredible the benefits are. And there's no denying, like they are A+. However, for me with Sienna, it did not come naturally. I tortured myself mentally and physically for it to work.
That actually makes me feel nearly like crying because I'm a bit emotional
it's so
at the moment
sad.
Anyway. And that really upsets me. Thinking about you sitting at home, me not even knowing at the time, and it like punished you. It punished you.
Yeah. And I thought to myself at the time, like, why is this so hard, number one? But then in hindsight, I'm like, far out. Why did I place so much pressure on myself? And second time around with Zave, I was so, like, freaked out. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to have a lactation consultant in hospital. I'm going to bloody pre-book one. I'm going to do this, that, the other. And then all of a sudden, I didn't have any problems. But part of me was like, I just wanted to get to, like, a couple of weeks and be like, I'm good with that. Like, I feel like.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting about that, Lozzie? You would have, with hindsight, with Sienna, as you just said, had those thoughts of why did I torture myself? Isn't
yes.
it interesting that you still, when you knew Zave was coming, felt like you actually needed to put things in place to make it work as opposed to
yeah,
that
correct.
Sort of hindsight feeling? Like it goes to show how deeply embedded these messages are because even with
yes.
what you knew and what you'd learned, you still thought, no, I need to try and breastfeed again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like the fact that she has said, she has made a choice after 10, most likely really gruesome. Is it gruesome? Is that the word?
Gruesome or grueling. I reckon they both work.
Oh, there you go. A combination
Let's call
of
it
the
gruesome.
Two.
Gruesome. It's like whatever that word is from Never Been Kissed. What does he say? Gruel. Anyway, I don't know. I think I'm talking about the wrong movie. This is embarrassing. Keep going, my friend.
Literally. After 10 weeks of it, I'm like, good on her. And what she said is, I'm not sharing this for validation, mate. She doesn't need validation. She's already done what she wants to do. But she said, I'm confident in my decision. Yeah, my hope is to help other formula feeding mums who feel judged or silenced to feel less alone. I love everything about this post.
I love like, that. I'm so glad you brought that
joyous.
To me. To anyone out there listening, and I'm sure there are plenty. I would go as far to say as that 50% of the population of breastfeeders have serious trouble breastfeeding. So for the 50% of people out there listening to this, you are not alone and breastfeeding is not the only way. If it works
exactly.
for you, great. If it doesn't, please consider looking after yourself first and foremost. Today, Lozzie, what are we talking about? I love talking to you. I'm excited. Sally Rooney thinks career growth is overrated, and that feels like a relief to me, given my career has been anything but linear. And next up, has parenting really become too hard? Experts certainly believe so. Take it away, my friend. And you actually will take it away, my friend, because I purposely put you first on the schedule so that I wouldn't have that awkward break again.
Okay. Sally Rooney is an Irish author and a screenwriter.
She's just released her book Intermezzo, by the way, too.
You literally stole the words from my mouth.
Oh, sorry. I'm rude. No, I love that.
Sorry, I bloody love that because you'll read it before I will.
You'll read it. Actually, no, you'll probably start it after me but finish it before me because it'll be on double speed audiobook.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So she, you would know her from the books of Conversations with Friends and Normal People. Mainly, if you haven't read them, you would know them from Netflix. Normal People was a big one and it was great. Excellent to watch. Great to read. Bit weird. Really enjoyed it. So she was recently interviewed for the New York Times about her new upcoming novel, which you've just touched on. And what she said was the following. There is a huge cultural fixation with novelty and growth. Everything has to grow all the time. Get bigger, sell more, and be different. Novelty, reinvention. I don't find that very interesting. When you say one of my characters could walk into another one of my novels, perhaps that is true, but they haven't. What I loved so much about this is her profession as a writer would be to just keep releasing standout books. Yeah. Like she has had so much success off two of her novels and she's probably written, I don't know, I would say like 10, but those two have like created this pyramid of you need to excel, like you need to be keeping.
Yeah, you need to keep
you
going.
You need to keep
what's
releasing.
Bestseller. Yeah.
Absolutely. And what I found fascinating about this is for so many people, I think there comes a point where you're like, do I need to keep growing in my career at the moment? Like, am I good for the moment, like for this point in time?
An author is such a great example of this because in any interview with an author, it's always like, what's your next book? What's your next book? What's your next book?
Yeah. But like, let's put it into a workplace perspective, right? So here's an example for you. If I had a performance review tomorrow for my existing role and my manager said to me, where next? Where do you want to go next? I genuinely, hand on heart, would say nowhere.
Can we go backwards, in fact? Put me back inside the womb. I think I want a redo of this whole thing.
At the moment, I am so happy in the role that I am in. I'm happy with my workload. I feel mentally stimulated, but not overstimulated to the point where I go home and think, far out, I can't cope with my family tonight.
Particularly important for parents.
Yeah, I'm able to clock off. And at this point in my life, like when I read that article, I'm like, that's bang on. Why are we placing so much pressure on progressing? Sometimes you don't want to progress. You just want to sit for a little bit.
I want to be stagnant. I want to stay in a stagnant body of water with absolutely no high and low tides, just medium tide, just frolicking in those waters. This brings up something that I thought of a lot pre-kids, and that's that a career that stalls or somewhat plateaus because of motherhood, because of parenthood, feels a bit sad. It's funny the way your feelings towards this change. Pre-having kids, I wanted nothing to stop my career. And now, yes. I don't think there's anything sad about either taking a backward step, taking a pause, or just saying, look, I'm actually not climbing at the moment. We're just staying on the ladder that I'm on.
And do you know what I think so many people forget? This is like the whole ridiculousness of it. It's like if you're in the workplace, right? You're in there. If you choose to excel and be like, you know what? That's it. I'm taking my foot off the brake and we're going for it. You can do it.
Pedal to the metal.
Exactly. If you're somewhere already, it's a bit more difficult if you're not working, but if you're already in a workplace, you can either like whatever you want really is at your fingertips. It might be harder to get to and be like, I really want a promotion, but you can put things in place to achieve it, or you can quit your job and find a new one at a higher level. Like there's so many ways to do it. And I think people, like sometimes people ask you questions like, oh, where to next? Like what next for you, Loz or Lou, or, you know, where do you want to go in 5 years? So I don't know, mate, because at the moment I'm so happy where I am. I actually am not even thinking about that. Maybe in 5 years time, I'll be like, okay, this is what I want. My kids are now in school. I got less family pressure. I really want to accelerate in these three areas and I'll go for it. But for now I'm like, why is there so much pressure on everyone fucking hustling. Let's just chill it out.
Perfect timing for you to bring this up, Lozzie, because I think so many mums even still taking career pauses for family. It's always like, when are you returning to work? When are you returning to work? Maybe someone doesn't know. And even more so for Chi Lo from Beyond the Balls, Beyond the Bump's new podcast, he says in tomorrow's interview how everyone keeps asking him, what next? What next? Like, parenting could never be enough. And this stage of his life is just a bridge between that world and this world. And he's like, I don't know what next is. I'm actually just living in my life right now. We are so focused on getting to the next place, and our life is so fast that it's like we can't understand and we don't respect someone that wants to stay where they are. You know, even the person in the workplace that, as you're saying, doesn't really want to propel forward. We often think of them as a bit lazy or a bit boring or a bit uninspiring.
Absolutely. I don't feel any of those things, or unmotivated, as in someone that's just coasting. I don't feel like I meet the description of any of those. In fact, super motivated. I feel really inspired by the work that I'm doing. At this point in my life, I have so many different moving parts. I feel like I have the capability and the time to give my energy to each moving part. But if I took on more in any one of those, something else is going to fall. And I don't want to do that at the moment. So it's like, that's, you know, I've read this article and I was like, oh my God, this actually depicts exactly how I feel. Like,
it's such an important message for mums feeling a little bit stuck and not sure where they want to go or what they want next. You do not need to constantly be moving. Life is fast enough as a parent or just a person in the world. If you're enjoying what you're doing, stop taking that outward pressure to keep growing. Maybe just bloody don't grow. Shrink if you feel like it. Just shrink.
I looked at stats on this, right? Because I think the biggest misconception is that people feel if they're not moving in their job, they're not growing. And that is fundamentally incorrect. So according to Indeed's 2022 Workplace Happiness Report, like, what a title. Beautiful. 90% Stunning. Of workers believe how they feel about their job affects their life outside of work. So it is so important to feel valued, to feel like you're learning, to feel like it's filling your cup in some way. So I'm not saying to you, stay in that stagnant job that you feel like is adding no value to your life.
Hate. No. Just stay in the job you hate. You've got absolutely too much not. Going on.
Exactly. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, it is okay to be in a role where you feel like you're challenged in some ways, but maybe you're not stretched. That's totally fine. And one of the other things that this report said is that 74% of millennials, which is quite a large portion of our listening pool, and members of Gen Z plan to quit their jobs due to a lack of career development opportunities. However, this doesn't necessarily mean jumping or moving roles. It means development from either a skills perspective or a leadership perspective in the role that they're in. And I think sometimes that gets missed in the narrative. Like, when people are like, what's next? I'm like, well, maybe I'll learn a new skill in the job that I'm in. I don't necessarily need to jump to the next level.
I think a really great takeaway from this for the mums listening particularly is, if you're feeling a bit stuck or a bit frustrated, question whether it's an ego thing, if it's a perceived feeling of that you should grow, or if it's that you actually want to grow. Because if it's the latter, absolutely go for it. Put that pedal to the metal and do the opposite of what Loz and I are interested in doing at the moment. But if it's the former, if it's just an ego piece, leave your ego at the door. You keep doing you. You've got enough going on as it is.
Perfectly said.
Last month, the US Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, wrote about the abundant joys of parenting, but also warned of a looming public health crisis. As fulfilling as parenting has been, the truth is it has also been more stressful than any job I've had, he wrote for the New York Times. This is the opening paragraph from a piece that I read by Sarah Berry. It's for the Sydney Morning Herald, and it's titled, "Has Parenting Really Become Too Hard? Experts certainly believe so." Berry goes on to write, "Parents he met while traveling the country shared the same experiences of feeling lost and exhausted," Murthy continued, citing research that nearly half of mums and dads are overwhelmed by stress, nearly double that of childless adults. A follow-up article last week by a fellow Times journalist suggested that parenting today is too hard and stressful. But do we face the same crisis in Australia? And if so, why? Now, I won't keep reading this piece word by word, but I want to read out some paragraphs that really point to the key reasons that are making parenting so hard and so stressful in 2024. Firstly, there's the amount of households where both parents are engaged in paid work. So Berry writes, in 1980, both parents worked in about 40% of Australian households, compared with 71% in 2022. So that's nearly double. When it's voluntary, that's fine. But one recent poll of Australian parents found the vast majority don't feel they have a choice and need two incomes just to survive. More than 60% said they are struggling financially, which is no small burden when you have little people. It's no small burden even if you don't.
Yeah.
Secondly, more than half of us are still finding workplaces inflexible. The article goes on to say, meanwhile, the National Working Family Survey of more than 6,200 parents published in June found only half of respondents feel family-friendly work arrangements are supported. Working mums continue to bear the majority of caring load, as well as household duties, nearly double that of men. So mums are working more and they're taking on more at home.
Yes, and I will say it's such a tricky situation here. And I'm not placing the burden on schools, but I kind of am in some way. The greatest difficulty is that you've got this work day traditionally designed around 9 to 5. So even flexible workplaces that do have, like, you can work from home, you can do this, you can do that, they're still expecting you to work the hours that, like, legally you're paid to work, which is like 37.6 hours per week of like 9 to 5, right? But when school is the drop-off is like 9:15 or 8:45, and then the pickup is at 3, and you're not going to be paying, or you can't afford to pay aftercare, the likelihood is either you try and make up those hours after, like, I just don't believe that many of the workplaces we have today can provide, like, truly the level of flexibility that is required. Like, they just can't do it.
As they don't.
It's near impossible unless workplaces shifted what working hours actually
workplaces still just want one parent to not work at all. But then the cost of living is at odds with that because,
I mean,
we can't survive.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think a lot of
people. Then why aren't workplaces 9 to 3?
Because I just don't think that's the way that they were set up. And I think originally when you looked at, like, school hours and stuff and the help that you were able to get around that, it was much greater and didn't cost as much.
But that totally lends itself to one person not working.
Yeah, which is what it used to be.
Yeah. So that's how they're still set up, which is just the biggest problem here is then that the actual cost of living is totally at odds with that. So in situations where both parents do want to work, sure, I guess you have to figure it out just on the way society works at the moment. But if you have to and you actually don't want to, it's such an awful position to be in.
I would say, let's be real. If a lot of us had the means and funds to support it, I would love to spend more time at my children and volunteer.
I think so too. And just do some lovely little moments of work. But it not actually matter.
Contributed to the good of society that actually made a frigging difference to other people's lives. And not get paid for it and wake up every day and be like, I've done my kid time, love my children, but now I'm going to contribute to a cause that really makes a difference and feel validated and so good about myself. Like, I don't know many people that wouldn't want to do that.
I know, but do you know what else pisses me off? Just why isn't it normal in this day and age for both parents to work 4 days? Like, it is 80% of what you're doing. It's the majority of a 5-day work week. Imagine if every 2-parent family had 1 day off to spend on the children each. Imagine the load that would release.
It would release so much load, and it would also, oh God, it would make a huge difference financially in terms of, like, your spend. Although maybe
and couple satisfaction, like relationship satisfaction, I think that would increase too. There would be so many good flow-on effects.
Yeah, there would. You're right. You are right.
Just to bring a few more of the complexities to this, the next part.
Tell me.
Is the ongoing problem of undervaluing the care work that mostly falls on women and how that contributes to rising stress levels in mothers. So Berry goes on to write, historical expectations that women are innately prepared to do unpaid, invisible work means we tend not to recognise the load, says Georgie Dent, the chief executive of the Parenthood and also a guest on Ready or Not back in the day. Because that work has been undertaken by women for so long, it's tempting to erase it. Unsurprisingly, the same report found stress levels are increasing, particularly among women. Then there's this piece about dads trying their best to get more involved at home while still working within environments that don't really allow them the flexibility for family life. So we have sort of touched on it, but this continues. Yet Australian men are typically working longer hours than ever before while trying to be more actively involved in raising children. I really think of this when Hayden's doing his best to reduce my load as the primary caregiver, when he has a busy day at work and he's racing home. And I do think it is hard on everyone, which this article goes on to say. I don't pretend, even though I think, gee, it would be nice to be at work and have that break and be able to go run to the shops to get your lunch without kids and all of those things. I still know that it's not easy on him. Like, he's still stressing at work and then stressing to get home to make sure I have a break from the children.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in the same boat, as in from a different perspective, though. So, like, Ryan works reasonably late. Yeah. So when he gets home, he goes straight into like story time or bedtime with the kids.
Yeah. And his is like a guilt of like actually wanting to see the kids as well. Like he's racing home to actually get them before bedtime, which would be really stressful.
I wouldn't say he's racing. I've never seen him race in my life. He moves at about the pace of a snail.
Yeah, he wouldn't even race to the most exciting endeavor of his life. He'd still crawl.
Float on there. Yeah. But I mean, it is tricky because when you say like the hours increase, I think it's also because people expect availability around the clock.
Totally.
In certain industries more than others.
Yeah. Someone sent me an email the other day and they weren't necessarily demanding this of me. It just goes to show how workplaces operate in this day and age. I think the email came in at 2:30 or 1:30 and the person said, I'm on a call till 3:00 and then if you want to have a call then I'm available. And pre-motherhood Lucy would have been like, oh, I'll see if it works. I'll write back to you straight away. Now that I'm in motherhood, I saw that email at about 3:00 when that person said they could jump on a call. And I thought, on what planet do you think I'm available that quickly? Like, I've got both children with me. I can't move that quickly. So I know what you mean. Like, the requirement of availability is honestly probably one of the things I find most stressful as a freelancer that often has my kids. Well, I have Posey with me all the time at the moment. She's under one. But I find that crushing, that responsibility to always get back to people. Whereas dad, he'd have to chase up an invoice by sending an email or waiting for them to be by their phone the next morning in the office or waiting to the next day.
Do you know what? I honestly always think, imagine how my relationship would survive with Ryan without the technology and availability we have today.
My friends
We would never have even lasted a month. He would even in the dating stage, he's late for literally life. Like, God forbid, the day he ever passes, his funeral van, like a tire will blow and he'll be late till his own funeral, like to his own funeral. Like, he's just that personality. If back in the day we met when there was no phones, like, I would have waited for half an hour and been like, oh, mate,
I'm see done. You later. If that, I reckon you would have given him 15 minutes, Lozzie.
Yeah, I would have.
I've got two more specific examples or factors to stress that this article brings up. Alongside these stressors, an increasing awareness of the social, cognitive, and emotional importance of engaging with our kids has become a blessing and a curse. So we're more aware of our kids' feelings and things like smacking we now know is taboo. So that's the sort of blessing side of it. But the curse side of it is that we're hyperfixated on being the right parents for our kids and not inflicting any trauma on them or any of that stuff about trying to raise happy and resilient kids. And that feels like a big responsibility that wasn't quite the same when our parents were raising us.
There's too much pressure.
There's too much pressure. Doesn't that just almost, it makes you like, oh God. And lastly, when all of these things combine and less community support enters the chat, it means majority of us feel like we never have enough time to replenish. So despite less community support in raising children, it means employed mothers and fathers spend more time now with their children than non-working mums did decades ago. And it means more money spent on extracurricular activities as parents try to keep up and give their kids a leg up in life. There's no self-care left in the picture. There's no fun. There's no rest. How does that sit with you when I read that out to you?
I resonate with a lot of it. I think there is enormous pressure on parents and in particular on mums today to be and do all of the things. I also think some of that pressure is just completely unnecessary and we put it on ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the other day I was scrolling on TikTok, as I do, just having
a little
look
debrief,
at the end of the day.
A little decompress.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the most stimulating app ever.
It's like Coco Melon for parents. And I was having a look at something and it came up and it was like, it talked about like how our parents parented and how we parented. I think a girlfriend sent this to me actually. And it was something like, don't say be careful. And the mum was like, well, what am I meant to say then? It's like, I'm meant to say like, I'm here for you. Like, do you know what I mean?
I've seen that example of don't say be careful and it like lives in my mind rent-free now. Not that I even think of it as gospel, but I think of it every fucking time I say be careful.
Or it's like, don't say, is it time for food now? Do you want your snack time? Say, would you like to choose to eat now? Like,
oh, that's too much. It's too much. This, like, I'm all for not smacking and that sort of stuff, but that level is like, come on.
Yeah, but this is what I mean though, Lou. Like, yeah. I think you're looking at it the perspective of someone that's had two children. I think when you're a first-time parent, that stuff can be so influential.
Totally. And we're all just trying to do our best. So to the people that take this on, I get it. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah, and I also think, like, this sounds awful. Something you do throughout your entire life of parenting, which is a fucking long time, is going to trigger your kids or piss them off or create some form of issue for them down the track. Whether that was as a child saying to your kid, I'm sorry, you can't have 10 marshmallows today. That's not what we do in our family. And then 10 years time, they go, you know, my mom, she never gave me marshmallows. And it really traumatized me. Yeah. Or something like, I know there's different variants
going
of trauma,
but there's always going to be something.
Something that you do is not going to work for your child in terms of their personality later in life. I like to yell. I can't help myself. I know it's bad. I don't mean it in a malicious way. But it's like when my kids are listening, I clap, hello. That's what I sound like. And I can guarantee you they'll be like, oh, my God, mom, she's so annoying. She used to literally clap and yell all the time. And I'll be like, you know what? I'm all right with that because I do.
I'm doing my best. And we can't be perfect.
I am doing my best.
The pressure on parents.
Way too much info out there.
Wild. I think you and I are quite lucky that we're somewhat immune to too much pressure. I'm not to say that we don't feel it in some regards, but I think we're quite lucky that our personality types just lend ourselves to not focusing on that too much. But for some people, that stuff becomes gospel and it's so stressful when you're just trying to do your best for your kids. And hey, the responsibility of raising a happy, healthy kid, pretty big responsibility.
It is, but I also want to just put it back to basic. Is your kid loved? Are they safe? Do they feel nurtured?
That's all that matters.
Three things are ticked, you're doing good. Friggin' good job. Like the other stuff in the background, they don't have to do 55 extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
Unless at the age of 6 months, they stand up on their feet and they swing that tennis racket like bloody Federer. Okay, maybe enhance their skills if you're so inclined to do so.
But don't ruin them the way Angus's parents ruined him while we're on it. That guy did not want to be a tennis player.
Like, my God. And when do curricular activities get so expensive? Just
FYI.
Oh,
see, I'm not at that stage. So it's actually good that I have you that's a bit further along than me because I don't even know. Something that I left off from this article was on this conversation that we actually spend more time with our kids now than ever before, even though we work more, is that piece around concentrated one-on-one time, quality time is actually better than quantity. So as long as your kids get really focused little bits of 10 minutes with you, that's actually all they need to know that they're respected and loved. And it also talked about just making sure you're not looking at your phone when they walk in the room and that you're lit up by their presence when they do walk in a room, which I think is a really great reminder. You're like, I'm clapping and yelling and looking at TikTok.
I'm like, babe, just let me watch this video. It's a minute and 3 seconds. Like, boy,
it's about parenting. Can I learn about parenting rather than doing it, Sienna? For God's sake. Before I get to the polls, I want to draw the comparison or draw the example of school holidays, what we've sort of touched on, and how stressful that is for working parents. So you currently have Sienna home during school holidays or kinder holidays rather.
Yeah.
You work 4 days a week. You work on Ready or Not / Witching Hour. I know you did a tits and tricks episode last week on just how you're doing that with some handy tips, but can you talk to me about the fact that an average parent faces 7.4 weeks of school holidays annually after exhausting their leave and the pressure that leads to when you go, shit, we're a month out, we're a week out or whatever of this holiday period and I have to figure out my work life and my family life.
Okay, a couple of things. For those of you who are unaware, school holidays start if you are not at a daycare center, if you're at a community kindergarten, if you're at a private kindergarten, they start when your child is three, not when they're five or six in prep. This is from three. Yeah. So you have a couple of years of grace of expensive daycare, which is also.
Yeah, it's like what's better, you know, like the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, you feel some reprieve and you're like, oh, great, don't have to pay so much daycare.
And also childcare sickness, I assume, is worse than kinder sickness.
Oh, it's just all the same. And then you get to kinder and you're like, shit, 12 to 14 weeks of leave. You're like, how on earth is this manageable? Couple of things. So many people have said to me, oh, school holiday programs, enroll them in school holiday programs. I'm like, yeah, for sure. Some kids have to be five, so that automatically excludes kids under five. In fact, a lot of school holiday programs are for children at a school age. The other thing is they are quite expensive. So for those people that don't have additional income, it's another expense. Most school holiday programs that I have found are not 7 till 6, so daycare hours. They're like 9 till 3. Also not conducive to working
so it helps,
hours.
But it's not like a solve.
Yep. And I mean, I'm very lucky where I have family that can help out because my brother and his husband are teachers, like far out. God, what a great profession to be.
School holiday.
Yeah, but perfect. For them, they're probably like, fuck.
I need to recruit a teacher into my corner, actually.
Yes. But if you don't have family help, you're kind of in this situation where you think to yourself, okay, I've exhausted my annual leave. I don't really want to be spending a shitload more. And yes, there are some rebated programs, but it's still a significant out-of-pocket expense.
Also, not to mention, if the holiday program isn't at the place that they attend normally, there's some really shy kids out there that can't just go with strangers. Like you've just warmed them up to kinder, for example,
yes.
And then you've got the emotional load of they're not going to want to do that on their own.
No, there are so many complexities of it. In fact, here's another story. Last school holidays, I tried this place called All Sports, which is excellent. It's really fun for kids. Sienna had a little friend there, so I felt more confident about dropping her off. Opens at 9 and goes till 3. Again, not ideal, but I decided to work from home that day, or I asked if I could work from home so that I could log on a little bit earlier and then make up the hours a bit later. Dropped her off. She's hysterical. Oh. Not even. I'm not joking you. I wasn't even.
And that's not her vibe normally, is it?
No, it wasn't even like, oh, I don't want to be here. It was like, do not leave me here. And I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? Like I called Rye and I was like, I don't think I can leave her here. Like she's so distressed. I took her upstairs to the educator who was no joke, like a 19-year-old guy, which I'm not saying anything about men, like they're great, but he just looked freaked out.
Yeah. He didn't understand the complexities of her emotions and how you deal with it.
Exactly. I kind of like tried to hand her over and be like, here you go. And he was like, I don't
leave her with me.
Yeah. And then as I'm leaving, I hear this, Mom. I'm like, this is cooked. Yeah. Like, this is so bad. And you know what? I was so unproductive for the rest of the day. Like, I called them to check in and like half an hour later. And they're like, oh, she's fine. She's happy. She's drawing pictures. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's probably fucking drawing pictures of me as like a voodoo doll. Like, I hate my mom. She left me this. But I couldn't even work that day because I was so stressed and the guilt that I felt about leaving her somewhere that wasn't like her usual environment. There's all these other complexities to school
and
holidays.
She like, it's so fucked about that is that some people probably will hear that and think, Dahl, you should have taken your kid home. But what are you to do?
Yeah.
Like you've committed to work, you need to earn money, and you feel like this terrible parent, but it's not within your control really. Like, yeah, maybe you could have taken the day off, but then the flow-on effect for that is more stress and more work
100%.
And figuring more things out.
Exactly, which is why in the Tits and Tricks episode last week, I mentioned if you can try – for a number of reasons, try and get your partner involved during the school holidays and work out a plan where like you block out your meetings for the day and you tag team or you do something to either A, not cost you money, B, not eat into annual leave, C, show him how fucking difficult it is when you've got a kid and you're trying to work out the logistics. Like the 14 weeks of leave every year, this is my first year of doing it, has been so hard to navigate and so costly and so mentally draining. And I feel like by the time we get to school, at least when you get there, like they normally have a little clique and the same kids will be in the same boat. So they have their little buddies. But when they're in 3-year-old kinder, I feel like there's this expectation of mums, to be honest, like I mean, this is a little bit controversial, but I feel like once, you know, when they're not at school, there is this implied expectation that kids look after them. I mean, that mums look after their children.
Yeah,
because
totally.
They're so little. And it just makes you feel so bad. It's awful.
I think also, and I could be wrong, maybe we'll need to find stats here, the likelihood of the primary caregiver or the mum engaging in paid work is probably higher when the kids start school compared to three-year-old kinder. They might still be on a career break or a smaller workload. So then it makes you feel more lonely because there's not as many examples. I'm sure there's still 100%. Plenty of working
mums. No, it's true.
But you're probably likely to find more of your clique as well when they start school.
Yeah, you're so right. But for anybody out there that has children under the age of five dealing with school holidays that feels immense guilt or feels like this is absolutely cooked and has been so hard, I feel you. Like, I am in it and I did not realize the complexities of it and I did not think it would start at the age of three.
Oh,
but here we are. Yeah. We are.
What do you think is easier to navigate then? The first year of childcare and all the sickness that comes with that, but better hours or kindergarten or the first year of kindergarten?
Do you know what? I feel like childcare is worse because usually when you're starting childcare, you're first returning to your job. So you already feel
there's a lot
really
going on
anxious
at one time.
And nervous. And you're like, oh my God, I don't want to take like five sick days in the first 2 weeks of being here. And you usually have to. Whereas once you get to like 3-year-old or 4-year-old, and for all those people listening, they're like, oh, you should have just kept her at a daycare center. Mate, I couldn't. They don't offer 3-year-old kindergarten. Otherwise, I would have done it.
Leave me alone. Stop judging me. Oh, Lozzie, we could chat for hours, but I should get to the poll. And it's exactly on this topic. So I'm going to get you to answer and then I will give you the pollers' answers, okay?
Tell me.
So the first question, in your experience, what is making parenting most stressful today? A, finances and the cost of living and the fact that we have no choice but to both work for financial reasons. B, the lack of flexibility in workplaces and the way kinder or school hours don't cater for both parents to be working. In that option, I go on to sort of say that the mum in that option wants to work but feels like she isn't supported by those kinder and school programs. C, that there's no free time for rest or for fun. I am constantly doing things with and for my kids, but that doesn't leave much time for rest and play either with my kids or for myself. D, social media and comparison culture. I'll give you the top line of that again because they're really big answers.
No, I got it.
Okay, what's your answer first?
Okay, so I'm almost going to say D, the comparison. I wanted to say A, financial, but I almost think it's D because it really messes with your psyche.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't expect that to be your answer, Lozzie. So then what do you think the poll is? Oh, no, I want to know your experience first.
My experience?
Yeah.
My experience would still be D. I think D. So it makes me doubt myself.
That's funny. Okay, that's really interesting because I think of you as someone that doesn't doubt themselves, which I think will make a lot of people feel quite validated because you are so confident and so good at going for what you need. But you were wrong. You were completely wrong. D was 9%.
That is so funny.
You're never this wrong actually, Loz. So D was the least. A, which is finances, was 43%.
Yeah.
So they're for the people that the parents sounds like they don't necessarily want to work as much as they are, but they have to for financial reasons.
No one wants to work this much. No one wants to work this much.
Yeah. Can I just go to the beach in Italy, for God's sake? And B and C were equal. So the lack of flexibility in workplaces and the way it doesn't set both parents up to work.
Yeah.
That's for me my answer. I want there to be such flexibility that Hayden and I can share the load and he can have some time off paid work and we can find more of a rhythm. Like, imagine if you both could just work 3 days a week and that was normal and you could afford to live like that. Wouldn't that be heaven?
It would be heaven.
And then that was equal with C, the no free time for rest or for fun, which I totally resonate with too. And I think every single parent does. Next up, what do you think would make parenting easier in 2024? A, more supportive parental leave policies. B, placing monetary value on the unpaid work of primary caregiving.
B.
Yeah, seriously. C, a government push to create more support and community structures for parents and families, or D, more supportive workplaces that normalize flexible and part-time work structures for both parents. So what's your answer first?
God.
It's hard, isn't it?
B or D?
Everyone wanted all of the above. You have to pick one.
Do you know what? I would actually almost say D if that was me.
Yeah, that would be me too. And that's what I was saying before. If like there was a world where both parents could work 3 days and you just had to figure out care a few days a week or one day a week.
I actually almost say it's more skewed in the direction of men. Yeah. I would prefer more male-dominated industries or more men to feel okay with working part-time.
Exactly. Because it's all well and good that it's offered, but
no one takes it.
Yeah, because not many corporate cultures really allow it if you're in the boys' club.
100%.
So what do you think was the most common answer then?
D.
So it was actually B, but just by a few.
Close.
Yeah. So you were right on the money there. So B, placing monetary value on the unpaid work of caregiving so that parents had more choice about how they work was the most common. That was 34%. D, more supportive workplaces, especially with dads in mind, was 29%. And then A and C were equal on 18%. So that was more supportive parental leave policies. Obviously, we know that has good flow-on effects for how people parent. And C, a government push to create more support and community structures for parents and families.
Yeah.
It goes to show how complex this issue is because our polls are normally not that even. I feel like normally there's an answer that really wins and it goes to show how hard this is to solve. How does your family actually navigate paid work schedules when it comes to kinder/school hours and the amount of holidays? A, family help to fill in the gaps. B, after school and school holiday programs. C, I work from home with my kids around me. D, I had to find a job that specifically suited these hours. What is your answer first?
My answer was, I'm very lucky. Mine is A. So family help. Like my poor dad and my poor brother, like they are just working like dogs.
Yeah.
During school holidays. It's bad.
It's not a school holiday for Jazz and Jess. And what do you think is the most common answer from the pollers?
I think B would be the most common.
So it's actually A, 44% family to fill in the gap.
That's good.
D, I had to find a job that specifically suited these hours is 25%. C, 17%. Wow. That was I work from home with my kids around me. So nearly a fifth of our listeners are doing pretty stressful work there. And B, after school and school holiday programs, which I'm really surprised about. That was only 14%.
Yeah, so am I. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
We have two more questions here, my friend. Do you have to take leave during school/kinder holidays? A, yes, I take paid leave. B, yes, I have to take unpaid leave. C, no, my workplace is understanding. And D, no, but I have to work late nights or early mornings to make up for more intensive parenting during these periods. What's your answer?
Oh, I think most people would need to take paid leave for portions of it.
Well so done, 48%. Then it was D at 36%. So a third of our community are having to work late nights and early mornings and then parenting in the middle of the day and make up for it later. How stressful is that? Yeah.
But it's true because you have, like, you just do not have 14 weeks of leave.
Yeah.
Per
and
year.
It's all so well and good to say that your job doesn't matter as much, but you still have to get your work done. Otherwise, people are going to be asking for it. Like,
exactly.
We sort of act like this is easier than it is sometimes.
Mm.
B is yes, I have to take unpaid leave. That was 10%. I'm glad that that wasn't high. I honestly thought that would be higher. Leave. It sucks. And C, no, my workplace is understanding was only 7%. Only 7%.
At least 7%.
Opposite of awesome.
At least 7% it's awful. Understanding. Yeah, it's not
and
great.
And last one, Lozzie, if you're engaged in paid work, does your stress increase during school holidays or kinder holidays?
Yes.
Yes, immensely is A. Yes, somewhat is B. C, not really.
A.
52% said A, immensely.
Yeah, for sure.
25% said B, somewhat. And I'm going to assume that those people have more flexible work arrangements. I can't know for sure, but I'm going to assume our immensely parents are the ones that have more corporate roles. And then C, not really. Quite a few people came to me saying that they worked in the field of teaching or similar. And that's why it wasn't as bad because they're on holidays too then. That wraps up the poll, my friend.
I also think your children can like sniff it out. Like if they're on school holidays and you're working and you're trying to get your work done while they're there, it's like they know. Yeah. And it's like they want to touch your keyboard or they want to sit next to you and be like, mom, watch this. And it's like, why? Like yesterday you were happy to watch TV when I wasn't working. Yeah. You were happy to sit there for 5 hours.
Totally.
But today you don't want to do that. Yeah, they know.
Like, Posey is always best at napping when she shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like, why are you asleep now, darling? We need to wake up. We need to get somewhere. Ray's just exiting that sweet spot of being old enough to feel more independent, but not so old that he's demanding more of me. And he's just reaching that stage now where he's starting to be like, Mom. And I'm like,
oh God,
I really have to put the laptop down because you're not having this. Like, I actually understand that feeling because you get it when they're babies, obviously, but it's more of a crying, I need you to hold me way. And now I'm getting the other end of pay some attention to me, you bitch. And rightly so. Fair enough, Ray Ray. Mummy's coming.
On that note, this wraps another episode of Witching Hour.
Can we say something positive before we wrap up? Because this,
yes,
what we've been talking about is quite heavy, really. Like, people might leave this episode feeling a bit stressed about all of the things that are stressing parents. So let's just say, whatever you're doing your fucking best. Take a load off, get yourself a snack like that lady says on Instagram. Is it Scary Mummy Moments? I can't remember her name. But just take it easy, in the word of the Eagles. Take it easy. Oh, God, I'm going to stop that right now.
I don't even think it's negative. I reckon it's fine. Sometimes you just got to be realistic about how friggin' hard it is. And other times, how great it is.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? I'm in the thick of it. So my mood is exhausted. Because this is towards the end of week one. I've got another week to go. And I planned over here today. It's tiring. Hence the reason my door is closed.
Sign us off, my friend. Sorry to butt in yet again.
If you have loved today's episode of Witching Hour, please leave us a positive, hilarious review and follow us on readyornot.pod. Chat to you next week.